I just feel like I have a four or five leadings this morning. But it's cold, wintry morning. Can you imagine, you know, you wake up, it's minus 30 outside, and even your dog doesn't want to go outside. Your car is frozen. How many of you have been outside for some extended time and just hang out? Anybody? One person. I know he's always crazy, that Pastor Ken, but that confirms it. he's sledding for Jesus. That's what he said. He's practicing. Where's Robbie? He's practicing to go. Well, you could go sliding too at the jail hill over here. Jail hill. You call it jail hill. Hallelujah. Well, I'm glad you showed up this morning. Otherwise, some churches are shut down. I see it. Some of my friends' churches over in the southern regions of Ontario. And they closed down because it's a little chilly outside. They said, oh, man, it's cold. One lady yesterday advertised it was so cold in the London, Ontario area. I said, oh, my Lord. And I showed them minus 45 degrees. I said, this was your old hometown yesterday or this morning. Minus 45, that's cold. What you're doing is chilly. That's T-shirt weather. Minus 45 degrees. I was just reading someone's thing, their message or whatever they wrote, that they had they come across a real bad accident last night on the highway. And they were just taken back. They were just so in shock himself that it actually, I think he maybe suffered a mild heart attack because of it. It's just shock. And, it's bad. I was up, was it Saturday night. My daughter, because she was traveling to Sulakot and then went to Pickle Lake, and then because of the roads and all that, so she got home about 3:45 in the morning. Because they're doing work with children. I guess they were there for 4 or 5 days. And, you think about when people are traveling this kind of weather, you know, and they said, you know, we saw 6 moose on the highway coming back that morning. 6 moose on the highway, right on the road. And one was dead because the truck just ran, a bigger truck hit it, and another car came by and hit the moose again. So, thank God for protection. Thank God your hydro didn't shut off this last night. Eh? Your car started this morning, and we thank God for his protection. Amen. And it's so cold, even the snowmen want to come in. All right, let's go to that scripture we've been looking at. You remember that scripture? Psalm 55. And verse what? 22. Some of you remember. Some of you don't remember. Some of you were here. Some of you are not here. Thank God for the word. Amen? Amen. Psalm 55, 22 says, I'm reading to King James here. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. So we want to be sustained. That means to be, lifted up and protected, and God wants to take the burden off your back. He said, "Cast your burden upon the Lord, and God will sustain you. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved." And we define who the righteous are. We talked about what the burden actually is. The burden are anything that's worrisome, that are weighty in your life, that you carry anxieties and fears. And we talked about that the devil, he tries to intimidate you and tell you how much he loves you, how much he wants to kill you and destroy you. And so the amplified version of that scripture says, cast your burdens upon the Lord. Notice this, releasing the weight of it. You know, there's a limit of how much we can carry, or we're supposed to carry, and we're not supposed to carry any of it. If you're carrying weights this morning, it's not God's will that you're pressed down and worried. I don't know. Has anybody had this situation? You get up in the morning, maybe it's 4 or 5 in the morning, whatever, 5 or 4 o'clock in the morning. Then you start thinking about something. Maybe some job that you're doing. Maybe some project. And then you keep going in that same direction. And it gets a little heavier. Then you notice, hey, you know, this is trying to get on me. Has anybody ever had that situation happen? No? Some of you. Some of you don't want to do anything. If I ask you anything, you still wouldn't lift your hands up. I need help. How many people realize that when you respond to me, you're helping me? Yeah. That you have to. That's why you keep your heart open. And I learned that in life, because you know it's not about if the preacher's a good preacher. It's how much you're responding and what God's doing. God sees everything. He sees your heart. He sees me preaching, and He knows how to make it flow. So it's more exciting when people are expecting God to do something through the man of God. And so if I'm a man of God, I should be giving you something besides, you know, a sore ear. But, you know, in every service, there's always, you know, God, what God wants to do, and, you know, and how much the preacher prepared himself, and how much the people are expecting and what they've prepared themselves. If you prepare yourself, like you said this morning, I'm going to receive. You know, I was listening to Keith Moore, and Keith Moore is one of my mentors that I follow. It's been years now I follow Keith. We call him Brother Keith. He doesn't like to be called Pastor. He likes to be called Brother Keith. And he said when his first week that he went to Rhema, he said the Lord gave him a directive. The first week, he said, I'm just a young man. I said, I plan to be the just 1 year program. I plan to be there 1 year, and we're going to head out. And he's sitting there, and the Lord spoke to him. He said, help Brother Hagin. Well, he didn't know what that meant. So he just was wondering what the Lord was saying. You know, he said, go help Brother Hagin. And he went home, and he got some cans. He had some cans there, food, and he went and brought that and gave it to Brother Hagin. He said, well, the Lord said, help him. This is the way I can help him. And he said, Brother Hagin looked at him and said, okay, sure, thank you. And you see, he's trying to interpret. He's trying to figure out what God is saying. Because sometimes God's talking to you about something that's so silly that you don't think God's talking to you. But you're missing it because you're looking for something spectacular. And you're missing the supernatural, as they say. So he said, so he began to do whatever it needed done. Whatever the church needed, he got on it. He said, what he didn't know in that time, that God gave him a director for the next 20 years. So he served in any capacity that he could. He served in any kind of endeavor that they needed in ministry. He worked in the back room and worked with different things. He drove for Brother Hagin and got his stuff and just did whatever he could find to do. Worked in the mail room and did different things. Because he heard the Lord say, help Brother Hagin. He said, what I didn't know, but I was sowing some seed for my ministry for the next time. So when I started my own ministry, he said, it came so easy. The church, he planted two churches, and when he went to that one church in Branson, Missouri, he started that one there, and it just like, you know, they said, what are you starting a church there? And they didn't have a congregation yet. The Lord said he felt led to go get a building. He didn't have any congregation. But the Lord led him. And the Lord provided. How many people know that when the Lord leads you, He's going to provide for you? He's going to provide for you. If He said to do something, and I really, really doubt if some folks that said that God led them to do certain things, now they're crying on Facebook and crying on television wanting money. And I don't think God led them. Because if God leads you, He's not going to leave you dry. I said, He's not going to leave you dry. He's not going to let you hang. He's going to lead you, and He's going to provide for you. When the Lord told Elisha, or was that prophet, Elijah, to go over to get, you know, go over to a certain, such and such a place, a widow woman would sustain you. And he went over there to this one town, over in 2 Kings. He was led to go. I think it's 1 Kings. He was led to go there. And he went to check this place out. I believe it was 2 Kings. And he went there. And he saw this woman, an older woman, a widow. And she said, we're going to... I guess he said, this one will sustain. He said, well, I'm going to make this. What are you doing? He said, I'm making this fire and I'm going to cook this last meal. My son and I are going to die. He said, wait a minute, don't do that. Make me a little cake first. So he loved eating pastries. He said, make a little cake. So she said, you know, so she went ahead and got sustained. She got sustained. He got help. But sometimes when we ask for help, we imagine that God's going to help us the way we think. We think that God's going to do it the way you imagine it. But God has his own way of helping you. So I doubt if some folks had said God led them and they're crying on Facebook or crying somewhere complaining, letting everybody know how displeased they are. You'll never get me doing that, complaining on Facebook about what God, if people didn't do this and that, because I'd be a fool. And we need to understand that God doesn't do stuff like that. If God told you to do something, you go ahead and do it. And don't complain about it. Be sure, first of all, that God told you so that you could rejoice and be happy and be a leader and show God's faithful. Amen. He doesn't say go out and do something and then leave you and then you drown and you starve and you get a heart attack or you go crazy. Is this helping somebody? It's helping me quite a bit. I'm preaching to myself. I'm preaching to myself, first of all. I got to remind myself that God is the one who sustained. He called me. He's going to keep me. And, you know, we don't complain who's not here Sunday morning. But we do acknowledge that there's some that are not here. To let them know if they're watching, you ought to be here. They say, well, we're with you, Pastor. We're right behind you. But they never show up. Thank God for that. You know, so we understand, you know, God, you know, he's a wonderful Lord. And I see his faithfulness in my own life and how he sustained me. And a lot of times I thought we're, you know, I don't think that where is God, you know. God, I know God said, I'll never leave you or forsake you. But I'm always wondering if I'm on the right track sometime. You know, and just wondering if, am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? Thank you very much. And, you know, this man here, I found him at the college. We found each other. Yeah. And so he followed me here. And that's been the Lord. The Lord's reminding me all the time. He invited you. He stayed. Some folks, if you try to kick them out, they keep coming back. No. Oh, yeah. Thank you, Lord. Well, we'll go back to our scripture. Amplified Bible, it says, cast your burdens upon the Lord, releasing the weight of it, and he will sustain you. The question is, will God do it? Will he sustain you? Yes. Okay. He will sustain you. He will never allow the consistently righteous to be moved or made to slip, fall, or fail. If you're casting your burden on the Lord, you will never fall, you never slip, you're not going to fail. Why is that? Because God is sustaining you. He's the one that's taking your burdens. So, We see different scriptures like that in Philippians 4:6. If you look at that Philippians 4:6 for a moment, if you would go there, I want you to look at the screen if you don't have a Bible with you. Philippians 4:6. Let's go look at the Amplified Bible. That would be really nice. I did send you something, but I'm kind of following the Spirit here for a second, okay? So it said, do not fret or have any anxiety about anything. So God's telling us, no matter how bad it is, I know it looks bad. The doctor says, you know, you could die in a moment. I remember the doctor told me that when I was 30 years old, 32 I think it was, that, you know, you have a condition that you could die. And I was thinking about that. I'm just 30 years old. I'm just going into ministry. And, you know, to tell you, and the devil started coming and says, I'm going to kill you. Well, he hasn't done it yet. If he could, you know, if the devil could kill you, he'd do it right now. But he can't kill you without your cooperation. And you have to be able to give in to him and start talking what he's telling you. And so we're going to try to change the direction of where we're going by changing the way we talk. So he says in there, but in every circumstance, no matter what circumstance, every circumstance, I know, Mary, you're having a hard time with certain things in your life, but the Bible says here, every circumstance, that we're not going to worry about it. See, you might have a situation in your life and the devil wants to kill you with anxiety and fear. You know, stress kills people. Yeah. Destroys lives. And people make mistakes. Even when they're stressed out, they make a mistake, like buying a car. A car, look, it's the last one like it. There's nothing like it. You know, you better get it now because there's four people waiting in line. You better get it. And then you buy it. And then the motor goes. He's getting a free one. But that causes him heartache and pain. I'm glad we have a Honda, brother. Amen, that's right. This portion is brought to you by Honda, local dealer. In every circumstance and everything by prayer and petition, definite request. Be specific. With thanksgiving. Now, you got to do that by faith. You say, Lord God, I got this concern. It's a heavy concern. It's a life and death matter. But God said, ooh. You know, God never says that. Peter, did you hear that? That's a real hard one. What are you going to do about it? So with thanksgiving, continue to make known. Whatever, if there's any other problem that comes up, you continue to make your wants known to God. He didn't say, do it over and over and over and over. God, I got this problem. God, I got this problem. God, you know, you just do it over. So, every situation you have, and if we have a problem that's heavy on us, we got to go to God. You know, you ever see that, you know, there's a little sticker that says, handle with prayer, whatever. Let's go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Let's go look at the Amplified again in that version. 1 Peter chapter 5. So, we're just following along that we're casting our burdens upon the Lord. 1 Peter chapter 5, the Amplified Classical Edition says, it's casting your whole of your care, not just 50% of it, but all of it. Like some people will put some of it on the Lord, and some of it they'll keep for themselves. Because after all, they do a better job than God. Okay, casting the whole of your care, all your anxieties. How much anxiety are you supposed to cast? All of them, all of them. All your anxieties, all your worries, and all your concerns. How many times should you do that one burden? Once and for all. And if you have to do it 20 more times, it means you didn't do it the first time right. So there's something else you need to learn. After you cast your burdens, there's something else you have to do. One of it is begin to continue to give praise and say, God, if it comes up and says, Father, I want to thank you that you have it. I don't have it. So see, if you have it, then he doesn't have it. Then he can't work on it if you got it. I think about all the things that I went through emotionally because of this. Sooner or later, you bang your head long enough, then you begin to learn something. Your head gets sore. You say, you know what? I'm doing this wrong. There's something that right here. So we're looking at these scriptures, you know, consistently to see there's like a thread of, you know, it all fits together because it says the same thing. Yeah. Once and for all on him, on your husband? No. On your boss? If you got to find, no, on God. He knows you. He knows where you are. For he cares for you affectionately. Have you ever been affectionate to your wife, Pastor Ken, lately?
Yeah.
We don't want to get that personal. But let's move on very carefully here. So I wanted to use an illustration, but he was too enthusiastic. I thought I better make a little curve here. So. I'm glad you love your wife. Yeah, okay. He cares for you affectionately and cares about you watchfully. In other words, he's watching you and you know, anything that's going on, he's watching for you. So God is open to our prayers. He's open to us. I think it's 1 Peter 3:12 talks about this, that God's ears, his eyes are on you, his ears are open. Look at that verse of scripture. Let's go look at it. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 5. So he's talking about the cares here we're casting upon God, all our anxieties. You know, they tell us, statistics say there's people that are like 90-some percent of the world is suffering from anxiety issues, fear issues. What they call 90% of the world has mental health issues. 90%, except Pastor Ken and me. 90% they're suffering from mental health issues, and that's from mild, you know, anxiety and cares to, you know, really bad, severe illnesses. But everybody has an issue because there's a devil running around. He's trying to make you nuts. So he says, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous. Who's the righteous are in here? Well, seven people so far. It was getting better than last week. The eyes of the Lord upon the righteous, those who are upright and right standing with God. How do we get that way? By receiving Jesus. And his ears are attentive to their prayer. You can just stop there because that's the point there. That God is already, he's wanting you to talk to him. To lift that burden. You know those scriptures that we gave you, you know, they refer to what we call the stress-relieving prayer. And there's a way that actually works if we're going to do that job of doing that, casting that care. There's a way we need to learn how to pray that. Or, you know, some people say you can either pray it or you can say it because you're saying something when you're praying it. Jesus said, whatsoever you say, you'll have what you say. Longness is provided in the word. And it's your right. Just say, hey, it's mine. And what we learn from Romans chapter 5, verse 17, he says, in this life we'll rule and reign in this life by one Jesus Christ. You're a king in your own life. You declare what's going to happen in your life. So we're saying in our lives we're going to rule and reign in our own lives in 2019. We're going to reign. The word reign connotes or gives this meaning that you're a king. Reigning means, refers to kingship. It refers to authority. You have authority in your own life. And so we said there's three things that you have authority over. Number one, first of all, you have authority over your own self. You have authority over... Ernie, quit crying. So... We have authority over our own lives. You have authority over your body, over your flesh. If your flesh wants to dominate, you say, no. You know, it was like one more that night there, we were waiting for Natasha to get off the highway. Like, my wife and I were waiting. We wake up once in a while, and she said, you know, I'm hungry. I said, who's boss? Tell that body, you're the boss. Because your body will tell you, I want to eat pizza. Whatever it tells you to do, right? So you have to be, you're the king over it. Your body said, I'll tell that person, I'm giving peace of my mind. I'm going to call him right now. No, you're Lord over your mind. You're Lord of what you say. And you better not make a mess and say something bad, because you're going to end up repenting. Or you're going to have to repent. If you're going to get your prayer answered, you're going to have to repent and say, go over to them and humble yourself and say, look, I'm sorry. I don't like that, do you? You better not say nothing. It's better to not say anything if you're mad. So ruling and reigning, he says, if the righteous ones, according to the scriptures, you know, Romans 5:17, the righteous ones will ruin in this life. Rule. Not ruin. I was going to say rule and reign, but I got two of them mixed up together. So rule is the same as reigning. So we have dominion over our own lives, over ourselves, over the devil. The Bible says resist the devil. James 5:7 or 4:7. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Hallelujah. Right? Hallelujah. Was it Ephesians 4:27? It says, you know, that don't give the devil any opportunity in your life. So we don't give him any opportunity by mouthing ourselves off and saying negative things. Because it says, you know, be angry and sin not. Because a lot of times when people are angry, they begin to say things. They say things. And so we need to begin to learn how to remind ourselves. Now, this is very basic, but, you know, when you're in the flesh, that goes out the window. That's why we need to continue to remind ourselves, like James says in chapter 3 over there, that our tongues take us to the destiny of what we're saying. Your tongue is like a rudder, it says, like a ship. It takes you wherever your tongue says, that's where it's taking you. That's what James says. Your tongue is like a rudder. And so it takes you wherever. So if you want healing, then begin to say, thank God for my healing, my deliverance, or whatever it is, and keep saying that. So we go back to these scriptures. Cast your burden upon the Lord, he shall, you know, he shall sustain you. Psalm 55:22. So if we're going to be sustained this year, 2019, there's something that we have to do. So let's go back to Psalm 91. If you go to Psalm 91, by the way, Jesus said in Matthew 6:34, don't worry or be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will have fresh worries again. Right? But remember, the Bible says that the righteous will enter the kingdom of God with many troubles. I thought I'd remind you that. Okay, Psalm 91. Let's see if I could find it here. I do have it in my notes. Psalm 91. No, I better go back here. Psalm 91, and let's go take it to verse 1. Psalm 91, we're going to see it on the screen there. I just want to make sure I have it on, if I need to refer to it on myself. You have it? Okay. King James says, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High. Now, we don't go visit there every day. We stay there. This is where you live every day. He said, he who visits the secret place, though, he who dwells there, that's where you live. You live in the presence of God. You understand that. You dwell there. Of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Verse 2 says, I will save the Lord. And then he says those things right here. He's my refuge, my fortress, my God, in him will I trust. Then he makes mention, let's go ahead and read continue to read. Surely he shall deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. The snare of the fowler. That doesn't sound very, very nice. And from the noisome pestilence. The Amplified says, he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. How many people know there's deadly pestilence around? He shall cover you with his finger, with his feathers, verse 4. And under his wings you shall trust. His truth shall be thy shield and buckler. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror of by night, nor the arrow that flies by day. Nor the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor the destruction that wasted at noonday. Lots of trouble there. 1,000 shall fall at thy side and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come near you. Why? Because you are in the shelter of the Most High. He's your refuge. He's your fortress. He's your God. Yeah. Only with your eye you shall behold and see the reward of the wicked. Verse 9 says, But thou hast made the Lord, which is my refuge, even the Most High, thy habitation. In other words, it's your lifestyle. That's your living in the things of God. You're in His Word every day. You're reading His Word. You're staying in contact with God. You have your devotional. You pray during the day. You pray in the Holy Spirit. You worship God throughout the day. You lift your hands and say, thank God, I'm blessed. You're driving down the road. You're reminded of His promises. Say, you know, you're driving. You lift your hands and you drive. Say, Father, we want to thank you. This is a great life. Thank you, Lord. For you. I have a purpose today. When I got up this morning, I have a purpose why I'm living today. I know there's a reason why I'm alive today. And everybody needs a purpose every day. Verse 10, there shall no evil. How much evil should come near you? No evil shall befall thee. Neither shall any plague come nigh that dwelling. That's sicknesses. Somebody said, thank God for healing, but I like, you know, divine health is a whole lot better than healing. You know, we're getting there. A lot of us are getting there. We just, we might have symptoms, but it's not destroying our lives, thank God, you know. You know, things happen in people's lives. And we're going to be sustained here. For he shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all your ways. In the King James, or this version here, the Amplified says there, he shall, verse 11, he will give his angels a special charge over you to accompany and defend you and preserve you in all your ways of obedience and service. It didn't say you can just go anywhere you want and do what you want to do, steal a car and God will protect you. No, it's what if you're following God and His plan. They shall bear thee up with their hands unless thou dash your foot against a stone. The devil quoted that to Jesus one time, remember? He quoted that scripture to tell Jesus, go ahead and jump off and almost suicide, kill yourself here, jump over there. God's going to protect you. You're God, you know, He'll help you. Jesus said, no, I'm not going to do it. You jump. You know, so he's not going to, you know, the devil will try to twist scriptures, and we have to know if we're keen enough, we know the scriptures, we know, hey, that's not right. This is a scripture, all right? Brother Hagin dying on his bed. He's 17 years old. And the voice came to him. The devil came and said, you know, thou shalt surely die. Like that. He said, that's exactly how I heard it. Today thou shalt surely die. You know, this is your time. And he said, ah, that's God. That's a supernatural move. And that's in the scripture. That's the scripture. And he heard it. And he waited all day to die. But then the Holy Ghost, thank God for the Holy Ghost, he said, the Spirit of God says, you know, a well person, you know, if because he was believing God, he said, a well person, what they do? They wouldn't be in bed. They'd get up. He couldn't get up. He was paralyzed. And the Holy Spirit was trying to get him up. He was paralyzed. He said, so he grabbed his legs and put it over the side of the bed and pulled himself on the bedpost. And the power of God, he said, the power of God hit his top of his head and went throughout his body. He's 17 years old. You know, so thank God that he leads. No one could help him. Medical science gave up on him. He had three, incurable situations in his body. Had a deformed heart. His heart was deformed. His chest was deformed. He had incurable blood disease. Even that alone would kill him if he didn't have the blood, the heart thing. So, thou shalt tread upon the lion, the adder, the young lion, dragon, thou shalt trample under feet. Because thou hast set his love upon me, therefore will I deliver him. I will set him on high, because he's known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life, but I satisfy him and show my salvation. Now, verse 16 is where we wanted to go. That's what we're believing God for. Verse 16. He says, with long life will I satisfy him and show my salvation. But that's not automatic. Now, you see all those evil things happening in there is what's trying to get on you and me. And so, but we want to get to here with long life. We want to get to the end of our life. We want to tell our children, gather our children around us and say, I'm leaving now. And, you know, y'all get along. Thank God. You know, don't fight over my estate. So God, we want to be there. And so we went to verse 3, verses 1 and 2, where it says, I will save the Lord. And that's our confession. And so what you say really matters what goes on in your life. And so that means when you're sick, you say, thank God, I'm healed. Not because you feel healed, not because the doctor said you're well, not because the doctor said you're going to be well. He might say you'll never be well. You'll have to do this for the rest of your life. But no, you have to say what the Word of God says. Say, thank God, God's Word says I'm well. And if you're poor, you don't have any money, say, thank God that he's made me rich. The Word of God says he's made me rich. 2 Corinthians says he made me rich. Jesus became poor, it says in there, that I might become rich. Let the poor say I am rich. Let the weak say I'm strong. That's in Scripture. And like Abraham, we call it like we want it according to Scripture. Not according to like it is. Don't be confessing things, you know, like some, you know, you have to confess this to some person. If you're getting counseling or you want counseling, to tell people, here's what's happening in my life, you know, I got this situation and so on. And but you don't report that to every person you meet. But you're getting help from somebody spiritual and you tell somebody what's going on in your life and they give you, whatever remedy and instructions or whatever to say, you know what, hey, you know what, you need to change your thinking there. Maybe get a little praise in your life. Listen to some praise music. Don't listen to 580 CKPR. Start listening to, you know. I listen to 580 CKPR. I think it was, is that still on? It's still on, right? Because the other day I put something on. It sounded like a CKPR, a radio. I put it on when we were driving because I got tired of XM. I got tired of, I started listening to CBC. And also, it's not a crime to listen to 70s. I like 70s. Sometimes I rock on myself a little bit. Disco music. But, you know, people complain about, you know, you shouldn't listen to that. No, I don't listen to every. You know, we're in this world. We listen to stuff all the time. I'm forced to listen to music sometimes that go to different places. It's on everywhere. Not just Christmas time, but you go in the mall, you hear it everywhere. Remember Pastor... Butler, yeah, he said, you know, he's watching baseball, football all weekend, and he starts singing Pap Blue Ribbon Beer. But that got on his mind. He's watching this show. Whatever you hear is going to come out somewhere. Well, this is life. We're living in this dangerous world, hearing these commercials. That's why Ernie is getting fat. He's eating too much, watching so much of those commercials. Man, oh man. Anyway, so we can't just wait around and allow ourselves to be distraught over different things. I wanted to write some things here, like because sometimes, you know, we run into trouble in different ways in our lives, physically or financially, mentally. You can't just wait for somebody to come and cheer you up. You can't wait for somebody to come and heal you. You can't wait for the next big miracle service, for somebody to come into town and bring your tent. You know, so you have to be able to learn how to initiate God's intervention in your own life. So there's some folks that are waiting around for God to do something in their lives when they should be doing something about whatever they want for themselves from God. Because they're hoping that somebody else will come along with some kind of firepower from the Lord and do something, you know. Like, here's what we said on Sunday, or on last Wednesday, concerning healing, Psalm 107, verse 20. The scripture said, He sent His word and healed them, snatching them from the door of death. He sent His word and healed them. Some say that Jesus healed all right, and that God healed all right, but it's not for us today. So they say, you know, if you're like just a young person, and the devil say, I mean, well, you got a bad report. What are you going to do? You have to do something. You have to fight back. So, some say that God will heal only if it's His will. Well, how do you determine if it's will? You know, for you. Because the devil say, yeah, God does heal people with those kinds of situations, but this is not for you, it's for some people. Or it was only for the Jews back then. And then you listen to that, then you take that in, and you say, how could this ever be? Many of God's people say it's up to the medical professionals and the healthcare system to do their work of healing. And thank God, like we say, thank God for the medical profession, helped us and helps our faith when we need it, and we continue to believe and trust God. When we went to Rhema, I remember we had a class at Rhema. And they told us, and Rhema, like, you might, if you happen to get sick here, something happens to you, we believe in faith and medicine. Go together. The medical profession, the healthcare system is doing the same thing God wants for us, and that is to heal us and keep us healthy and safe, free from pain and sickness and disease. Yeah, help our bodies to mend itself, because we can receive healing. But sometimes we're not. It doesn't, you know, we don't follow the way we should be following sometimes. We follow what our mind, unrenewed mind says. We can't thank God for healing that's given to us or through medical science. Thank God for the healthcare system. Certainly many people would have died by now if the healthcare wasn't there. So even many theologians have declared that Jesus healed only to prove His deity. But our question is, what does God's word say? What does God say about it? And that's what we have to ask ourselves. I know there's somebody in here. In fact, I've known some people in here that said they could have died, but God healed them. And so they begin to push themselves towards God, and there was a healing that manifested in their lives. So, don't wait around for somebody to come around with some healing power. Learn how to initiate your healing. And this is the whole matter of it today. And the question is, don't wait for some magical something to happen. Learn to initiate God's, you know, healing or whatever it is for your own life. Some people are waiting for something magical to happen like that. So depending on somebody else for the healing, or waiting on God to move in some special way so that they'll receive this healing. More often, you know, we see in the healings of Jesus that, you know, if you're a young family, you're doing good, you're working, and you got money, and things happening in your life, and all of a sudden, then you have a bad report. you're not going to give up. You know, thank God you're healthy now. We want to be sustained till right to the end, not have to die with disease. I was told we don't have to die with disease. You can just run out your life as to old age and say I'm going to go. I remember a story Brother Hagin told us about this lady. She's almost 90 years old. She was an evangelist who traveled. And she did a lot of work in the ministry. And so she's there. She's got this big stomach with cancer in bed. And they told their Brother Hagin is in their 30s. This lady's in her late 89 or something. And so they went over to see her to pray for her. She said, boys, let me go ahead and die. And he said, I'm not gonna do it. I'm gonna pray for you. I'm gonna pray that God heal you and then die if you want to. But don't die with sickness and disease. So they prayed for her and she got healed. And then you know it's funny, when she got healed, she didn't want to die. And next thing, she's out there driving her car at 90 years old, 91, I think 90, and she's still driving her car. Joanne, just driving her car and doing the work of the ministry. They went back to see this lady when they come around again to visit in ministry. Say, where's Sister So-and-so? Oh, no, she's out there driving. She's doing some personal work of evangelism. She's sharing the message of the gospel. Well, thank God we can initiate. We can't wait for something magical to happen, somebody with some supernatural power to come by and some special meeting. You don't have to wait for special meetings. Amen. Don't wait for, you know, a big tent meeting or some special meeting downtown. No, just go ahead and receive now. God's here right now. He's here inside of you. He's here over here right now. You know, thank God that He wants to give you this life. Thank God for it. Amen? So, if He's changed, that He doesn't do that anymore, then He's not the same Jesus. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Malachi says, I'm the Lord God, I change not. You know, there's a plan for every one of you in here. God has a plan for you in every area. He's planned to get you out of debt. In fact, he's already planned it. It's already a done deal. You have to get into the plan. He's already planned your healing. He's already planned your husband, your wife. He's already planned everything out, your finances, to be all settled in the name of Jesus. Thank God. Stand up and let's go ahead and close. Father, thank you for this time to go into the Word of God this morning together, just to settle in your word that we can be sustained all day, all night. We look to your word. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. His word endures forever. The mighty hand of God is upon us. His word declares that He is the Lord. He is the King of kings and Lord of lords, the everlasting one. The healer, the one who sustains you from everlasting to everlasting. He'll sustain you yesterday. He'll sustain you today. And so, Father, we declare over our lives that you are Lord over our lives. We say, Lord, be Lord over our lives. We begin to thank you for the blood that washes us. We cover ourselves, as the scripture says, we have faith in the blood. To plead the blood of Jesus over our families. So thank you for the blood of Jesus. And so we declare the blood to be covering all our homes, all our children, all our stuff. We'll not lose one. Thank you, Lord. We serve message to the devil. We command you to get your hands off our homes. Get your hands off our marriages. Get your hands off our children. Get your hands off the plans of God. Get your hands off our finances. In the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father, for your good work of the Spirit of God in our lives. Thank you for the Holy Spirit and His work, and He's leading us right now. Father, we rebuke every sickness and disease in this place. People with disease in their body. I stand here in the name of Jesus. I command sickness to leave your body. I command you to be well from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. I come in agreement with you. The Bible says, if two of you shall agree on earth as touching anything, it shall be done to my Father in heaven. We can declare it and say it's true for me. So I'm saying it's true for every single person in here that needs deliverance from whatever it is. Drugs, fear, alcoholism, lust, cravings, gambling. In the name of Jesus, we declare them to be free right now in the name of Jesus. I declare your freedom right now as we sang that song. You're free to dance. You're free to move around. In the name of Jesus, you're free from cigarettes and bad habits and pills. You're free from fear. In the name of Jesus, I declare you to be free right now. In the name of Jesus, be free from poverty. The spirit of poverty, spirit of lack, in Jesus' name, be free from it. Glory to God. Thank you, Lord God. Say, thank God that I am free. I declare that I am free. I rule and reign over in my life and over the devil, over every circumstance. In the name of Jesus, I declare that I'm okay. I'm all right. Things are going to be fine. Thank you, God. I'm filled with the Holy Ghost. Thank you, Lord. Amen. I want you to know, if you're not saved, I believe some of you are saved in here, at least three of you. Now, if you need Jesus, you know, those of you watching online, if you need Jesus right now, now is the time to receive the Lord. Just say, Jesus, come in my life. Be my Lord and Savior right now. The Bible says, whosoever declares and says, Jesus, come in my life, shall be saved. You go ahead and do that. Tell us who you are. We want to know who you are. We want to write you and give you some stuff that you can grow spiritually. God bless you. See you next time. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Praise God. All right. Greet each other as you leave the house of God.